Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 21. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. And would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you? For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in a spirit of gentleness? This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Father, we know we have just read that the gospel comes with your power and not with our words or our strength. Father, we, as we've seen over the last few weeks, the gospel is foolishness to the world and yet immense power and wonder and joy to those who are being saved. And so, Father, we ask tonight, would you speak your words of power to us? Would you humble us? Would you help us with these difficult words? And would you help us to love Jesus and to long to follow him? In his name we pray, and for his glory. Amen. A few years ago, Gabby and I used to live in London. My wife and I lived in London, and we had a Premier League footballer as part of our church family. And it was amazing to see him on TV. It was amazing to watch him doing all sorts of impressive stuff, and then the next day to be in church serving tea and coffee. And as a church, one day we put on an outreach event, a sporting event. Something you can invite a friend to, and there was going to be a person who was giving their testimony about how they became a Christian, why they are a Christian, and what difference Jesus makes to their life. And I was really excited. I thought, brilliant, we're going to get this Premier League footballer up at the front of church. It's going to be really powerful. People are going to be blown away by this impressive man, this successful guy. They're going to think, this guy's a Christian? Wow, I want to be a Christian too. Then I heard who was coming to speak. Have you ever heard of Cambridge? Right, you know Cambridge, yeah? Right. University town. Have you ever heard of Cambridge United? One or two nods. This guy used to play for Cambridge United in the mid-80s. He was part of a football team that faced relegation twice in two seasons. They went all the way to the bottom of the Football League. That was disappointing. As it turns out, the guy who came to spoke was wonderful, because what my friends needed to hear wasn't an impressive professional footballer, but someone to talk to them about Jesus. You see, the problem is that we often judge by the wrong standards. That is so often our problem. That was the problem 2,000 years ago in this Greek city called Corinth. They had been making judgments based on the wrong basis and on the wrong timescale. They judged using worldly wisdom. They said they were Christians. They said that they followed Jesus, and yet the world laughs at Jesus. Do you want to know what the world does to Jesus? It crucifies him, hangs him on a cross. Who would follow a crucified king? The world thinks the cross is weak and it is foolish, and yet is the wisdom of God as he saves sinners who deserve judgment. The world laughs at the wisdom of God because they judge on the wrong basis. They judge on the wrong timescale. We saw that last time. They are only focused on what they can see and think and what they feel. Have a look down at chapter 3, verse 18. Paul says, don't be deceived. They were so focused on this age that they had forgotten the bigger picture, that there was a day of judgment that was to come, that God is the one who judges, that his verdict is the one that matters. Have a look down at chapter 4, verse 5, page 1148. Paul says, each one will receive his commendation, not from those around, not from you and me, but ultimately from God Most High. Now, that was true generally, but it was particularly true of the apostles, those that he had sent as witnesses to Jesus, those that the Corinthian church were being tempted to disregard and to move away from the gospel that Paul preached. The world thinks they are fools, but they are God's servants. And faithfulness to God is what really counts. It is God's verdict that matters and not the Corinthians. And now this evening, as we boast in the wisdom of God, of the cross, Paul wants us to know, God wants us to know, that his ministry, apostolic ministry, gospel ministry, the life of the gospel worker looks weak and it looks pathetic precisely because it is shaped by the cross. And so it's immeasurably powerful. And look down at verse 16. It is the life that you and I are to imitate. I urge you, writes the Apostle Paul, be imitators of me. First of all, though, he tells us what he is like. Chapter 4, verses 8 to 13. Christ's apostles, Christ's gospel workers, are like the scum of the world. I wonder how you feel as you hear that, as you see that picture. That's quite shocking, isn't it? I wonder what your expectations are for the Christian life. For the church, maybe. What sort of reputation should we have in the city? The Corinthian church, they wanted power and they wanted influence. Have a look down at verse 8. They want riches. They want authority. They want respect. It's the sort of church that is full of beautiful, shiny people. A sleek online presence, a shiny city centre building. People flock there. It's the church that celebrities go to. Welcome packs with all sorts of glossy printed sheets, free water bottles, whatever it is you want to give out. They don't just have one kids worker. They've got a whole team of people paid to put on a show for the kids. They've got so much money. They even have a budget set aside for donuts each week. I did once hear about a church in America that had a $300,000 budget per year for donuts. They want to be kings, but they've got it completely upside down. Have a look again at verse 8. Paul drips with irony. Already you have all you want? So easily, so quickly? Is this really what you are settling for? This fleeting beauty, this fading power, this passing wealth? Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven. They have got it completely wrong. He says, would that you did reign. The phrase has the sense of being absolutely impossible. It's not improbable. It's not like you winning the lottery tonight or whenever it is. It's not like someone becoming a professional footballer. Highly unlikely, but there is an outside possibility it could happen. No, this is impossible. When they think of a gospel worker, they think of a king. And Paul says, if you want the castle image, then move away from the throne room and go down to the dungeon. The damp, the dark dungeon. The picture is from death row. Verse 9, he says, I think God has exhibited us apostles, not just himself, but all the apostles, as last of all, like men sentenced to death, despised and shamed and scorned, just like their master, just like their saviour, just like their Lord, Jesus Christ. Now they are a spectacle to the world. The world and heavenly beings are invited to look on and to watch them die. It's the Colosseum, but there's no glory here. And I imagine half of us at least have watched Gladiator. Russell Crowe, condemned to fight and die as a gladiator. He says in that famous speech at the end, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, and loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance. It's good stuff, isn't it? You want to follow that gladiator, don't you? And maybe not this one, but that one. You're on his side, but that is not what Paul means. His picture is like a slave dragged into the Colosseum as a spectacle for the world. Everyone to laugh at and to mock and to point as they die. The universe looking on, angels and people, heaven and earth. They are the scum of the world. They're not there by accident. They're not in the wrong place at the wrong time. Verse 10, they are fools for Christ's sake. They go where their master leads them. They follow in his footsteps. Verse 11, hungry, thirsty, dressed in rags, buffeted, homeless. Their life is one that is shaped by the cross, because the road to glory, the road that Jesus leads down, always goes through the cross. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. When they are reviled, they bless. When they are persecuted, they endure. When they are slandered, they entreat. They display the power to bless when they are reviled. They keep going when someone beats them. They respond with surprising kindness when people lie about them and drag their name through the mud. And where does that leave them? Humanly speaking, look down at the end of verse 13. Like the scum of the world, refuse, rubbish. Think about the grime that's left on your bin once you've taken the bin bag out. Or something you stepped in on your way home from wherever it is. That is where they are left. That is where the world thinks they are left. The scum of the world. And yet in reality they embody the wisdom of the cross and they live in the power of the cross. Looks can be deceiving, can't they? We keep buying fruit and it looks really nice and shiny on the outside, but you cut into it and it's rotten in the middle. Or a box can be plain and boring, but it can hold a precious treasure. And you look on and you think these Corinthians, they look like they are wise. They look like they are strong. They look like they are held in honour. And Paul and the apostles look fools. They look weak. They look as though they are in disrepute. That might be how the world treats them, but what does that matter? The world's verdict isn't the one that counts. Verse 11, it is to the present hour that is how they are treated, but they won't always be treated that way. Because the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to the world, but to those who are being saved, it's the power and the wisdom of God. And so the question is, which one of those really, really delivers? The foolish cross that looks like death, but is in reality life, or fleeting riches, power, and strength? The world thinks they are weak. The world thinks the apostles are weak. They think that they themselves are strong. The world thinks the apostles are losers, but theirs is the victory. If you were looking at Paul's life, I wonder what assessment you'd make of him. Hungry, thirsty, poorly dressed, buffeted, homeless, working hard, persecuted, reviled, slandered, the refuse of all things. I imagine people would start, if he was around today, people would be issuing statements distancing themselves from him. We're not like that man, have nothing to do with him. Unfollowed on social media, uninvited to the university campus, blacklisted, defamed, denounced. And it's embarrassing, isn't it? If he was here, would you want to be part of his church? Which church looks like it has more of a future? The rich and the powerful church of Corinth, or the weak, foolish apostles in their cross-shaped ministry? Scorned by the world, yet precious in God's sight. We mustn't confuse our time frames. If we think we can rule like kings now, we're trying to grab from the future. One day, God's people will reign like kings, but that is not for the here and now. One day we will feast in endless joy and lasting peace. But for now, the gospel work, the gospel ministry, the gospel life looks more like the scum of the world. I wonder who you look up to. I wonder who your role model is, or maybe was when you were a kid. Paul says, be imitators of me. When I think of my dreams for my kids, I can't say that I've ever hoped that one day they would grow up to be like the scum of the world. And yet, that is exactly what Paul says. Verses 14 to 21. Christ's apostles are like the scum of the world, but you and I are to imitate him. You see, the problem is, the Corinthian church don't look like the apostles. So verse 10, we are fools, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we are in disrepute. And the problem with that is that if they aren't following Jesus, if they aren't following in the gospel life, if they aren't taking up their cross daily, then they are following the world in its ways. And Paul goes on to show us what that looks like, what they are doing in the way that they are living. We'll come and see that in the next few weeks. And that really brings into question whether they really belong to Jesus or not. It's a serious danger. Verse 14, Paul says, I don't do this to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as beloved children. You know, they should be ashamed, actually, but they shouldn't stay there. Paul's intention isn't just to cut them down, but he is warning them, he is admonishing them, he is calling them back to Jesus. He's not just another guide, verse 15. They've got many of them, countless guides. And the problem is that guides don't really care for the people. There's been an investigation recently into the Sherpa guides on Mount Everest. I don't know if you saw that. Apparently guides have been slipping drugs into would-be climbers' drinks. And these tourist climbers then think they have altitude sickness, they need to go to hospital, and it's one big insurance scam. The Sherpas put in false insurance claims for medicine, for helicopter airlifts that never took place, for unnecessary hospital treatment. Paul says, you have many guides, but he isn't just another guide, he is their father in Christ, verse 15. And they are his children. And so he warns them, he urges them. Now, sometimes you have to do that as a father, not because you want to crush your kids, but because you love them, because you want them to flourish, because the way that they are going is really dangerous. I remember sometimes a father has to say, if you did this when you were older, you'd just get punched in the face. Maybe you'd even get arrested. Don't do that. It is dangerous. Paul is saying, if you despise me, if you despise the cross of Christ. Instead, follow me as I follow Jesus. It's not copying his life because he does it perfectly. It is let his life be a model for you. Why? Well, because his life is shaped by the cross. And later on he will say, follow me as I follow Christ. One commentator says, the aim isn't to be Paul-like, but it is to be Christ-like. And it's so important that he sends Timothy. It's so important that he sends Timothy to remind them of the way that he lives and what he teaches. He's not just picking on them. He teaches this everywhere. And it's so important that Paul says he's going to visit them soon. And he says, do you want, when I come, do you want the carrot or do you want the stick? Do you want me to come with a rod or a spirit of gentleness? And he hopes that they'll see the folly of their ways, that they will repent, that they'll put their house in order, that they will turn back to Jesus. And do that before he arrives. It will require humility instead of their arrogance. It will require them setting their minds on Jesus, boasting in the wisdom of the cross, rejoicing in its power. It will look like, it'll look a little less glorious and a little bit more like the refuse of all things. That is because the gospel, the power of the gospel, doesn't look like anything in this world. God chose the weak things to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world. God chose the shame and the folly of a king crucified as a criminal to die under the wrath of God, to take our sin, not in part but the whole, nailed to the cross so that you and I bear it no more. Jesus Christ crucified in weakness and yet raised in power and in glory. So let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Paul says, imitate me. I wonder who your role model is. Who are you imitating and who are you learning faithfulness from? When we had that speaker at our church in London, I thought the person that we needed was the impressive one. The one who looked good, who was successful, who drove the expensive car. But what we really needed was the person who'd walked away from that life, to dedicate his life to telling other people about Jesus. What are you filling your mind with? Or who do you mainly spend your time with? Whose behavior is shaping the way that you live? Netflix won't present it to you. YouTubers won't model it. Instagram won't portray it. Because the cross-shaped life looks utterly stupid and foolish to this world. It is repulsive. But the cross-shaped life leads to guiltless in the day that Jesus returns. It leads us to the end. Who are you listening to? Do pray for me and Larry to do this. Do pray for me and Larry to have the courage to be fools for Jesus. It's a tempting lie, isn't it, to think yes, I know some Christians really are mistreated. Some Christians are, frankly, a bit embarrassing. They are despised. They're a bit dull. They're a bit unpopular. But it's different for me because I'm a Christian and I can be cool. I can follow Jesus. Everyone can still like me. Not me, but you guys. I can be funny and wise and impressive. And the world can look at me and love me just as much as my non-Christian friends. It's a tempting lie. Is that really true? Or is that you just deceiving yourself? Do you want to be a king, or do you want to follow the crucified king? Christ's people should expect to be treated more like the scum of the world than a king. Cursed and slandered and shunned. Will you imitate the apostles? It's really challenging. It is a really hard thing to do. We've had a few bits of graffiti on the notice board over the last couple of years, calling us names, slandering us in various ways, as a church. Each time when I've gone out there and scrubbed it off, my heart has sunk and I've thought, do we need to change something? Do we need to change what we're saying? Whatever it is. And maybe we do. Maybe we are being unnecessarily offensive. But if we are imitating Christ's apostles, if we're staying with the gospel of Jesus and the foolishness of the cross, then that sort of thing is exactly the sort of thing we should expect. We shouldn't expect anything less than being treated as the bottom of the pile. I found this really humbling in my prayers for a new building. How do we expect the world to treat us? How should we expect the world to treat us? Well, more like the scum of the world than kings. And so what should we expect for a new building? A little less glassy and shiny city centre, shop front sort of thing. And more like a shack around by the back of the bins. I want the impressive thing, but that is not the way of the cross. Because God takes the weak and despised things of the world to shame our wisdom, to humble our pride, and to save his people in his immeasurable power and strength, that he might get all the glory. Let's pray, shall we? The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Father, we hear this and we see this in some ways and we think that is impossibly difficult. Father, we ask that you would humble us. We ask that you would change our desires. We ask that you would help us to judge rightly, to be less wise in our own eyes and more wise in your eyes. Father, we ask that you'd help us. We ask that you'd help us to follow Jesus, to rejoice in the cross and where it leads, to life and peace and a relationship with you. So, Father, in all of these things, would you help us to be unashamed? And we pray that you'd help us to trust the way in which we are treated into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.